This is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. This episode continues our series on the ALA elections, and this episode I'm speaking to some people who are running for ALA Council. I wanted to do this series so you could be more informed about the candidates for office in ALA. Don't forget to vote, which begins at 9 a.m. Central on March 19th, and ballots close at midnight on April 26th. You'll be voting by email, so if you haven't gotten an email confirmation, make sure to check with ALA. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
So you guys are all running for ALA Council this year. If you guys can go through one by one and introduce yourself and let everybody know why you want to be on council.
Hi, my name is Erica Finley, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I currently work at the Pacific University Library as a digital resources and metadata librarian. I'm a somewhat new professional. I've been working as a librarian for 5 years now, and I've been an ALA member for six. And my involvement with ALA has kind of snowballed over the last 4 years. Currently, I'm working a lot with the Emerging Leaders. I'm on the Emerging Leaders subcommittee, and I'm also an Emerging Leaders member guide this year. And the top reason why I'm running for council is because, personally, I've gotten a whole lot out of ALA, professional development and growth, and I want to see that continue for newer members.
My name is John Jackson. I live here in Los Angeles, California. I'm a library supervisor at USC. Like Erica, I've actually been involved in ALA for about 5 years as well. I was also an emerging leader back in 2012. And currently, most of my involvement in ALA is through ACRL. So I'm on one of the conference planning committees for April, as well as one of the ALA annual conference planning committees for 2014. And one of the main reasons that I'm interested in applying for council is that, I mean, generally I'm interested in being part of the conversation. And in my experience, both attending ALA and being involved in committee work in ALA, that in order to be part of that conversation, being on council is really important. That's where a lot of the decision-making process happens. And so, you know, having a seat at that table is important to me when it comes to trying to move our profession forward. But more specifically, I'm really interested in ALA strategic planning initiatives. We have a strategic plan that ends in 2015, and so we're going to start thinking about, you know, moving forward, what are going to be the new goals, the new priorities, especially legislative priorities in the next coming year. So I want to be involved in that process.
Hi, I'm Kate Kostorski. I live in Norwalk, Connecticut, and I am actually the Institutional Participation Coordinator for JSTOR, serving the United Kingdom and Northern Europe. I have been involved in ALA as a member since 2007 and more actively since 2011 when I was named an ALA Emerging Leader representing the Reference and User Services Association, RUSA. Since then, my involvement in ALA has snowballed, and I am active in various committees and working groups throughout RUSA, as well as the New Members Roundtable. Plus, I'm a member of ACRL, LEADA, and a few other roundtables. My main reason for running for council is to bring librarians together. There's a lot of issues that affect every librarian. Whether you're an academic, you're a public, you're a school librarian, these issues affect everybody. And my my platform for running for council is an extension of Andy Woodward's Big Tent librarianship belief. I call it librarianship is 30,000 feet. And it's something I see working outside of a library, outside of one institution, and getting a full view of an entire region of the world. I want to make sure that any librarian's issue is every librarian's issue.
Hi, my name is Coral Sheldon Hess. I am the Web Services Librarian at the University of Alaska Anchorage. I've been there since 2009 when I graduated, so also a pretty new professional. Before that, I was an electrical engineer, just point of interest. Most of my ALA involvement is through the New Members Roundtable, although I'm starting to branch out. I volunteered for LEADA committees. It's very exciting. I'm also heavily involved in my state association, the Alaska Library Association, and I was an emerging leader in 2012. I'm running as a new librarian. I mean, that's most of my platform, honestly, is, you talk to people, especially people who aren't members of ALA, and they're like, well, you know, all the decisions are made by people who've been there for 20 years. And I know that's not true. I mean, there are new people on council even now. But I think, and that's part of why I wanted to run with this group, with not that it was my idea, but that I joined this group in running. Having some really visible newer librarians out there might help energize the other new librarians and get them to run. Maybe not for council, maybe they'll run for executive board. Maybe they'll run for head of one of the associations. You know, any number of different ways that you could get involved. But I think the new members seeing themselves in these leadership positions, or seeing us, will help them see themselves there and get over kind of some of that fear, some of that, oh, I'm new, I don't know anything. That's not true. Everybody didn't know anything when they started, even if they had been a librarian for 10 years. I mean, it's always a learning process, right? And I'm excited about learning about council. So well, that's my platform.
Well, Corey, you bring up a good point of that, like, you guys have sort of banded together as the ALA Think Tank Caucus, along with, we will mention the people who couldn't be on the call today, Mel Gooch, Linda Kellum, Chris, I'm going to kill his last name, Chris Kayak.
Manya, I think Shore. That's close enough.
Okay. Manya Shore and Patrick Sweeney. So why did you guys decide to sort of put your eggs in a basket together? Like, what values do you guys share together that you want to bring to council? And why did you guys want to team up with all these other people to run?
Well, I think, like Coral was saying, many of us are newer members, and not that there's not newer members in council now, but I think bringing that voice to council is something that's really interesting to me.
Kate chiming in here. ALA structure and governance, and ALA in general, can be very mystical. If that's even a word. I think I may have just made up a word. My apologies. It's almost like IKEA furniture. You get IKEA furniture home, you dump it out, you look at it, you look at the directions, say, what in the world does this mean? But once you dig into actually putting together your Billy bookcase or your futon, it starts to make sense. I look at us, the group of us together, with our experiences in leadership positions within our own organizations, all of us, as we've mentioned, are emerging leader alumni, as being like the Allen wrench that can help put the pieces of ALA together for everyone else and just demystify putting together that IKEA furniture that we call ALA.
And this is John. I mean, just to tag on to that, Kate, you know, the think tank is sort of a way to help people demystify ALA. Now, I should make it clear, and you know, anyone who's familiar with a think tank would agree, that the think tank is not an institution within ALA. It is not in any way ordained or institutionalized by the American Library Association. But what it does is it allows people who all have this same passion, libraries, which is the one chain that connects all of us together. It allows us to sort of come together and discuss issues that are related to ALA, tangential to ALA, and it provides a platform for making that move. If you decide that you want to be more involved in the American Library Association, the ALA Think Tank is a great way to get started, to meet some of the people involved, and to just sort of, you know, test the playing field.
Yeah, that's one thing I also wanted to ask about is, how do you guys see for people who want to get more involved in ALA, how do you propose that they do that besides running for council?
an easy first step is through the new members roundtable. They guarantee a committee position if you want one, which is kind of a nice thing. Not every roundtable, although a lot of the roundtables will do that for you. Not all of them will. And the associations are a little harder. But again, I mean, first step, right? Volunteer, put your name out there. You'd be surprised how effective that can be.
What's that old lottery saying? You got to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
My first path to ALA involvement would be to get involved, if you're in library school, get involved in your student association. Attend meetings, run for an office. Through that door, other doors will open, such as ALA student to staff, ALA emerging leaders. Work with your school to see if there are meetups at conferences for other students, particularly if you're at a school that has an online program where you only know your classmates based on a little avatar photo. We are, from my work with RUSA, I can say that we within RUSA are looking at ways to reach out more to students and student chapters. The New Members Roundtable does a great job of this with their student and student chapter outreach committee, of which I'm chair. But there are other divisions that need to take this on as well.
And if you're not a student, you could also get involved in your local state chapter of ALA. I mean, the California version of ACRL is a very strong knit group, and I really enjoy working with them. So that's another way that you can get involved. I mean, part of the difficulty for me getting involved with ALA at the very beginning was that I didn't understand how large organizations worked, you know, structurally. So getting a chance to work with a slightly smaller organization like the state chapter sort of, like Kate said earlier, demystified the process.
Yeah, and I just want to add, if you are or aren't already an ALA member and there's an ALA conference happening near to you, you know, go to that conference and go to the things that sound interesting to you and just start out observing. That's what I did, you know, and then just don't be afraid to raise your hand. And that's really how it starts.
It's important for us to stress to everyone listening that if you are attending an ALA conference, unless a meeting is specifically marked as closed, it is open to all members, regardless of whether or not you are a member of that division or roundtable. So if you aren't, for example, a RUSA member and you want to go to a RUSA Codes meeting, unless it says closed, show up. We would love to have you.
Committees will, like, put you on if you show up, so.
Yes, be prepared for that. That happened to me.
And do you think that's especially important for, like, for ALA council meetings, since that they're dealing with the really big issues of the organization?
I went to council forum, not to council, and I learned a lot. It was really educational, so I would definitely recommend if you can't make it to council for some reason, you should go to council, but if you can't, council forum is even an interesting thing. It's not as formal and you're allowed to talk, which was part of the reason I went. And it's at night instead of in the morning.
I highly recommend attending a council session if you have time. And I say this, I was a political science major as an undergrad, and I like watching how the process goes, how the sausage is made. It is a little bit like C-SPAN, so it can be a little boring, dare I say it. I wish it was more like Prime Minister's Questions in the UK, which if you've ever watched that online, there's booing, there's catcalling. It's like Congress with a two-drink minimum.
Exactly. But it is important. We need to institute that.
It is important, though, to see the process and how it's made, even though there are times where you do feel like you're digging in the weeds. Anybody who went to any of the council sessions at ALA Midwinter in Seattle will definitely back me up on this. But you need to see this process being made.
And, you know, let's be clear. I mean, ALA is a huge organization, so it does move, I think, much more slowly than a lot of us would like it to move because of its bulk, because of the number of members on council. I mean, council in itself is a huge organization. So, I mean, you know, we should be clear about that, that there is – it is a political body, and it has all of the blessings and shortcomings that come with it.
And so do you guys have ideas of how – you could push things in council to streamline that kind of thing? I mean, I know that's kind of a big issue of, but that's a complaint people hear a lot. And when I was collecting questions for the presidential candidates that I'll be interviewing in a different show, that was a big thing that came up of the organization's too big, it's too slow. What can be done to speed those kind of things up?
I mean, you could have a time limit on comments if they don't already. I think they might. I don't know if they enforce it though. I don't know. I mean, people feel like they need to have their say. All of the counselors are representing someone. We're running as counselors at large, so we're representing everyone, which is a hard thing to do. So they feel like to do their constituents justice, they have to say something. And there's got to be a way to make that discussion faster, but I don't know what it is.
And I understand wanting an organization to be more nimble and sort of the impatience that goes along with that. But that's one of the reasons why I want to get involved and see exactly what happens and exactly what the process is, because I think that will lead to an appreciation of it. There might be some things I don't know.
And do you have any specific way that you'll try to reach out to members to get their input? Since you're sort of going to be representing the membership as a whole, how you'll reach out to get their input to make sure you're representing them well?
I hope we keep the hashtag alive.
Absolutely. The hashtag has taken off. I want to make sure to wear my... We had ribbons at ALA Midwinter with the hashtag TT4, number 4, ALA Council. And if I want to continue wearing those ribbons at an ALA conference so that people see it and they can come up to us and say, hey, you're one of our think tank ALA folk. Here's an issue I have. At the same time, I want to keep traditional means of communication open, such as the listserv. One of my first tasks, should I be elected to council, would be to research the hot button issues by getting on the read-only ALA council listserv. After that, I would then go further to look at the constituency that's being affected. For example, if there is an issue for public librarians, I want to go on the PLA listserv and see how public librarians are reacting. If it's an ACRL issue, well, I'm already on the ACRL listserv, but I'd want to see how ACRL members are reacting. And dare I neglect saying social media. We have the think tank Facebook group. We have that at our disposal.
And that's open to everyone.
Yes, I want to continue using it. Twitter, same thing. We have these social media tools available. Let's use them.
And dare I mention ALA Connect. I mean, it really is a great platform, and I know not a lot of people are currently using it. But outside of the listserv, which as far as I can tell is where most of the discussion happens in between conferences, the ALA Connect platform, which I know they're currently upgrading, to the newest Drupal system, is a great place for sharing documents, sharing ideas, but there's not a whole lot going on in that space. So I would really like to see us utilize that more, because it really is a very robust platform for carrying on those conversations and also, you know, cutting down on the type of conversation that happens in the meetings. You know, maybe trying to get more of that conversation out of the way at the beginning so we can focus on making things happen, making decisions while we're actually at the conference in the council meetings.
Yeah, I think ALA Connect is basically Jenny Levine doing almost all the work. So it's amazing the kind of stuff that she's been able to do with, I think, very limited staff to assist her.
Yeah, let me add, if you see Jenny, buy her a beer, buy her a cupcake, whatever she desires, because she's one of the most amazing people within our organization.
If we had to look up Make It Happen in the dictionary, Jenny Levine's picture would be right next to it.
Definitely.
You guys are all on all these social media things. You're on, I believe everybody, is everybody on, and I know everybody on the call is on Twitter, but I don't know if everybody in your caucus is on Twitter. The majority of you are. I'm trying to think.
Most of us are. Some are less active.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys already use that a lot to communicate with other members. Can you guys give your usernames for that so people can connect with you there?
Definitely. This is Erica. My name on Twitter is E Findley, and my last name is spelt like Findley with a D, Findley. And you can find me on Facebook too, just under my name, Erica Findley.
This is Kate. I'm on Twitter as @librarian_Kate, and pretty much everywhere else as librariankate7578. Twitter apparently deemed that too long. So Facebook, Google+, ALA Connect. My Gmail is librariankate7578@gmail, and I am open to talking to people over email as well.
And hey, this is John. You can pretty much find me as John X Libris on any social network. So JohnXLibris. So that goes for Twitter, Facebook, Gmail. I'm sure there are others out there, but that's where you'll mostly find me.
And this is Coral. On Twitter, I'm web_librarian. Very creative, right? And that's my username in a lot of places. Some places that don't allow underscores, the underscore is gone. On Facebook, I'm C. Sheldon Hess. And you can email me at, also very creative, coral@sheldonhess.org. It doesn't matter if you put in the hyphen. It'll get to me either way.
Let's go back through everybody again, and if you have any final thought you'd like to share with people about why they should vote for you or why they should vote for the caucus or why they should just vote, period.
I have thoughts on all those things. I think if you are an ALA member and considering not voting, I would ask yourself what you do want out of the future of the organization. I think voting in these elections is very important because it will be those people that do go on the body of ALA Council and some of the other bodies that do make decisions for every member. So please vote. It's very important. And if you vote for me, I promise to advocate for and look into increasing ALA's connection with its new members and retention of its new members, as well as any other issues that you feel comfortable bringing to my attention.
If you're an ALA member and you're not voting, you have no right to complain when something doesn't go your way within the organization. You have this opportunity to vote. It is done in such a way that it is easy for you. It is a long voting period. It's not like a general election in the United States where you only have 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., depending on your state, when you can come and vote. And truthfully, I think that having been a poll worker in a previous life, that is itself generous. You have a month plus to vote. You can't say you don't have time. We give you time and we give you the tools to vote. You have no excuse. As for why you should vote for me, I know it looks scary when you see a name associated with I'll use the bad V word, vendor, on the ballot. And you may think that person has a particular agenda based on where they work. And I'm here to tell you that I am not that kind of person. If you have an issue, it is my issue. I will research it. I will make sure that your concerns are known. I will know it inside and out probably better than you do. And that's what I can bring to council, someone that can very quickly and easily look outside her world, unbiased, and make sure that your concerns are understood, as well as their implications, it's getting near the end of the day here on the East Coast, and I'm getting a little tired, and make sure they are heard and understood, and follow up with you as well and let you know what the results are. It doesn't stop when you send me an email and I say, thanks, I'll look into this. I'm going to get back to you and say, I did. Here's what council can do. Here's what they can't do. And here's why.
I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I think for the last few elections, only about 9 to 16% at the most of all of ALA votes in the election. So if you are one of those people who thinks that your vote really won't count, believe me, it does. It counts a lot, especially given the low voter turnout. And that is one thing that we need to work on in ALA. Go ahead, Kate.
I can say that I think this holds true for you, John, but we both ran for council last year and lost by very slim margins. 1% more of the voting electorate, and I would have been on council, and I think the same can be said for John as well. So you don't think your vote matters? It dang sure does.
Yes, and I would love that 100% of ALA would vote. But until we get to that point, every single vote does matter a lot. In deciding who you want to represent you in the governance of ALA. But as far as why I think you should vote for me, one of the things that's very important and one of the things that I will work on is being proactive about defining the future of libraries. I think it's very common for us to be very reactive when it comes to the changing environment, whether it be legal issues or digital issues. And I think it's important as the leaders of this organization that we actually define what it is we want libraries to be in the coming years. So that's something that I'm definitely going to work on, defining what the future of libraries will be based on my experiences, my connections, and what I get as far as feedback from the various groups that I'm involved in, which include, you know, social media, the think tank, my California association, and so forth.
You know, my colleagues have really made the pitch for voting far better than I could. So instead, I'm going to tell you how to make your vote count extra. This is a mathematical thing. You might just have to believe me on this. When you have the option to vote for 32, 33, or 34 people for counselor at large, if you know 32, 33, or 34 people that you want to become counselors, awesome, vote for them all. If you only know 10 and the rest of your votes would be at random, don't cast the random votes. The math is kind of hard to explain. I know some people are like, but then I don't get as many votes. I don't get as much say. But the random votes just hurt the candidates that you want to help. So whether or not the ALA Think Tank Caucus for Council is among your set of desired candidates, don't vote at random. That's my very strong advice.
She's an engineer.
And after listening
She's an engineer, folks.
And after listening to this podcast, you definitely know three people that are running for council. So there, you've got three votes minimum you could cast.
Four.
There you go.
Four.
As for why you should vote for me, actually, you know what? A lot of what my colleagues have said is true of me, too. I think this whole group would do a good job of representing new librarians. I think that we would speak up in council, which takes some bravery to do. I don't know about these guys, but that's going to be a challenge for me, but it's a challenge I'm willing to take on. You know, I'm always nervous talking in front of groups, but it's important. New members are not well represented in council right now. We don't have a numerous voice. We have a couple of really strong voices. One of them we're hoping will become president. Having more of us there and having us do a good job of representing can only help. So I hope that you'll consider voting, first of all, and voting for us, second of all.
All right. Well, cool, guys. Hopefully people who have listened to this have gotten an idea of what you guys stand for and what they would be voting for if they vote for you. So good luck in the election.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Hello. I am Loida Garcia Fibo, and I am seeking re-election to the ALA Council. I am eager to continue working with ALA units and affiliates to establish and promote programs of benefit and unity to all members. I will collaborate with the library community to continue addressing topics concerning our membership, but advocating for free and equal services to all in our communities, focusing on initiatives to meet the social, technological, and professional needs of our membership, asserting the need of developing librarians working with all types of demographics, partnering with organizations to establish programs to benefit our members, and focusing on the association's availability to mentor, train, and support library workers during their career, between careers, and during retirement. I am committed to help facilitate the development of new librarians within professional associations. I intend to continue the work started when ICO established IFLA New Professionals to broaden the involvement of recently qualified professionals in ALA, its core values, and professional priorities. I am committed to working together with you, and I seek your vote. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lauren Presley, and I'm running for ALA Council. This is actually a re-election for me. I'm just now completing my first term on ALA Council, and I'd very much like you to consider voting for me. In this little segment, I'll spend a little time talking about why you might want to vote for me. I'll talk about my experience and how that's relevant. And I'll talk a little bit about who I represent as an at-large counselor. So I'm just now completing my first three-year term as a counselor at large. And in that role, you represent everybody in ALA. You don't represent a specific division or a constituency. So in that role, I've tried to be pretty active online. In council, I'm often tweeting what it is that we're talking about and soliciting feedback. Between council, I try to be accessible. I've written some blog posts about how council works to try to share a little bit and make it a little more transparent. So I really try to be someone who can be engaged by members of ALA who want to talk about issues and would like to see it, those issues manifest to council. I've also spent the last 3 years not only participating as a counselor, but learning a lot about how council works. That very first meeting is very intimidating, and to stand up perhaps and say something. And I've spent a while sort of learning how the body works and when it might be effective to say something and how to say something in a way that might be effective. And in fact, I tend to reserve my speaking up at the mic to be more about people who might feel marginalized. So people who might not see ALA as being a really good fit for them, or people who are in library school and looking for work but not finding it. So I try to represent people who might not have as much of a voice in the council at large. So you would know, if you vote for me, that those types of issues are the things that I'm paying a lot of attention to, as well as trying to think about how to help ALA transform and become more useful in 2013 and the time period that we're in. I think a vote for me means representing those people and means getting someone who has a sense about how it works, but also someone who has a real sense of mentorship. So I really care a lot about the field and have worked with a lot of individuals who are new to the field about how to get involved or ways, you know, to be more effective within whatever it is they're doing. And likewise, I would really love to be a resource for new council members who are being elected to sort of help them sort of figure out the lay of the land and how to be effective within that body. So those are a few reasons that I think you might want to choose to vote for me. My experience that has led me to wanting to even serve on council has largely been participating in various forums within ALA. My very first committee appointment within the larger body was for the Committee on the Status of Women in Librarianship, and that's a council committee. That's a committee that does a number of things, but one of which is write legislation for the body to consider. From there, I was going to ALA anyway, so I was looking for other things that were a good fit and interesting to me, and I joined ALITA as part of an interest group, and over time increased my leadership there, so I went on to chair that interest group. I also was the ALITA-sponsored emerging leader. I now serve an elected position on the board of directors for ALITA, and I'm on the executive committee as well. So I've really spent a lot of time learning how different divisions function within the larger body as well. I've also done a lot of work with ACRL in various capacities, from the Women's Studies section to serving on the Cyber's Edge Ed Committee to being involved with some of their online publications. So I also think of ACRL as another home of mine within the larger body. I was an emerging leader, which means that I've learned a lot through that process about how ALA as a whole works and how all the different parts fit together. And council has really amplified that knowledge for me. So I feel like I actually have a pretty good handle on the larger body and how it all functions together and some of the larger issues that are affecting all aspects of the organization. And that experience, I think, gives me sort of a solid and rich background for considering the issues that are brought to council. So that's a little bit about the experience that I bring and why I think that it's well-suited for serving on council. And finally, when I think about who I represent, it's really everybody, right? Because at large is representing the entire ALA membership and not just a single group. So I certainly would welcome any feedback from anyone, and I always do through email or Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. Any issues that you would like to talk about, I would like to talk about. Likewise, as you might guess from my involvement with ALITA and my availability on social media, I'm really interested in technology issues, so I pay a lot of attention to those when they're brought up in council, and often try to have a very forward thinking view on technology issues when it's brought forth. And I also, as I mentioned earlier, really care a lot about the people who might feel somewhat marginalized. So I spend a lot of my time, as I mentioned earlier, thinking about how these issues that we're discussing might affect a new student or a recent graduate who hasn't found work yet, or someone who joined ALA and then left ALA because it wasn't a good fit for them, and what is it we can do to make ALA be more relevant for everybody in the field. in any position within the field. So I spend a lot of time thinking about that. I actually came into the field through a non-librarian position. So I also try to think across all types of work within libraries. And my entry into the field was actually volunteering, when I was much younger, in school and public libraries. So though I've never worked officially in those capacities, I do my very best to try to think through all different types of libraries rather than just my own home type of institution, which is academic. So those are sort of the types of things that I wanted to mention. I think the final thing that I wanted to mention is I'm very democratic in thought. So if ever there's a chance to take something to the full membership and it makes sense to have the full membership talk about it, I also vote in favor of that rather than trying to make decisions on behalf of the body. So in my record, you'll see that as well. But if it makes sense to get forward to the whole body, I always vote in favor of that. So those are sort of the highlights for why I think you might want to consider voting for me. A little bit about my experience and some thoughts about who it is that I believe I represent. I've really enjoyed serving you in these past 3 years, and I hope that you'll give me the opportunity to continue to do so. Thank you for thinking of me when casting your vote.
Thanks again to the ALA Think Tank crew, Loida and Lauren, for participating. If you'd like to learn more about the podcast, you can visit circulatingideas.com. Or you can follow the show on Twitter at CircIdeas or on Tumblr at circulatingideas.tumblr.com. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/circulatingideas. And if you have comments, questions, or suggestions for future interviews, you can contact the show at circulatingideas.mail@gmail.com. Music is by Pamela Klicka. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again next time.